Good evening. No, I'm good. We're going to open up tonight in a word of prayer before we get started, and then we'll dig into the word a little bit here. Dear Father, just thank you for this time of year. Thank you for the time that we can get together and just celebrate the birth of your Son. Thank you for everything you provide for us, for the snow and the winter and the cold. Just thank you for everything that you grace us with. Thank you for your Son and what sending him allows us to have salvation in you. Thank you for caring enough for us to do that and to allow us to come here and just worship freely and remember everything that you have done for us. And just be with us tonight as we study your word. Let us better understand what you may have for us, and be with us as we go tomorrow and celebrate Christmas Day and just remember why we're celebrating it. It's not just about the food and the presents and everything else, but the reason we celebrate Christmas is the birth of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is my first Christmas Eve message ever, so just warning you, we'll see where it goes from there. So I was going to do Luke 2, and then any of you that were here on Sunday, that's what Aaron decided to do, so he beat me to it. So we're gonna hit Matthew 1 instead. So we're going to start out, the Word of God, we're going to start out actually in Matthew 1, and we're going to read 18 through Matthew 2, verse 11. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered those things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save the people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who was been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and asserted from them that what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You may be seated. So as I was preparing the message for tonight, I got to, you know, I was looking through Matthew 1 and Luke 2 and reading all the stories, and it got me to thinking about, you know, what our society has turned Christmas into, a time to sell gifts and to make money and everything like that, and which, you know, is fine, you know, that's what we do, but also looking at the traditions of what we have for Christmas. If you look at a nativity scene, you see all the animals in the stable and the wise men and the shepherds all there at the same time. Well, you know, they probably weren't all there at the same time. Actually, the shepherd or the wise men didn't even show up until 2 years later when they were actually in a house. None of that, you know, there's no issue with that. Like the story George told tonight, there's no mention of a boy, a son of the innkeeper. We don't even know if the innkeeper that they talk about or the inn that they stopped at is the stable that they stayed in. It could have been a completely different stable. Does that matter? Probably not. The point of everything going on with Christmas is what God had done for us by sending his son. You know, the traditions are great, the things that go along with it, as long as we don't lose the point of what God had done for us. You know, it was interesting. The children's church had a quiz that they had gave out to the kids of 20 different questions about Christmas. And as I read through that, you think you know the answers to a lot of them, but actually the answers that you know are the traditions that we have come to know. You know, there's a few things that jumped out to me. One of the questions was, how did Joseph and Mary get to Bethlehem? Well, the first thing that pops to your mind is Mary was riding on a donkey, because every Christmas card you've ever seen, it shows Joseph walking next to Mary on a donkey. Well, the Bible actually doesn't tell us. Is that important? Yeah, probably not, but it's just interesting, you know, as you start looking at that, what pops into your mind, because that's what we have seen. What did the innkeeper do since there was no room in the inn? Well, we really don't know. All it says was there was no room in the inn. It doesn't tell us that the innkeeper gave him the stable. It doesn't really tell us about the innkeeper at all. It just says that there was no room in the inn. When did the wise men find the stable? Well, you can tell by here that it talks about that they showed up and they saw him at the house, which obviously isn't the stable. But, you know, like I said before, the nativity scenes show him there, all the wise men there at the same time as the shepherds. All of it isn't relative, as long as we don't lose the point of why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we have this time of year? And the point is the birth of Jesus Christ, as it was prophesied. So how important are those details? So when we look at that, you know, when we think about that, what is the focus? When we read Matthew 1 here, the focus is Jesus Christ is born. The wise men came to worship him. And so let's start out looking at that. You know, when we look at that in verse 20, after Joseph found out that Mary was with child, he said, but he considered these things. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So Joseph was surprised, you know, a little shocked, I'm sure, to find out that his wife, his betrothed, was with child. I'm sure he was going through all kinds of emotions, thinking, you know, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't how my life was supposed to go. This isn't how I had it planned. But, you know, he was probably thinking, okay, how do I get out of this? What do I change? You know, I gotta change this. I can't continue on down this path. Trying to figure out what the right thing to do was. However, we see that wasn't God's plan. God's plan wasn't to get Joseph out of there. God's plan was that Joseph was to be Jesus' son. Joseph was to be Jesus' father. You know, he was to be born of the house of David, which it clearly says, Joseph, son of David. So that was God's plan. So God sent an angel and said, you know, this is what God has planned for you. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't imagine what that dream was like and how startling that would have been. But, you know, that was what God had planned. So the point I'm trying to make here is that if God has a plan, and the Bible's very clear about that, He is always in control. You know, we need to make sure that that's where our focus is what is God's plan? What does God have for us? And we don't really know that if we're not focused on what God has here in the Scripture. He had a plan for the Israelites. He told the Israelites what his plan was. He was going to send a Savior, and that it would be how it would be happening, and what family it would be happening through. So it talks about the prophecy here in verse 22, and all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which would have been very important to the Jews because they knew all of the prophets and everything that had been said. They had the Old Testament. They knew it inside and out. So what Matthew's pointing out here is this is exactly how God had planned it. He told you this was how it's going to happen, and this is how it did happen. We can see that prophecy is identical, or what the statement here is identical to what was written in Isaiah 7:14, which is where Isaiah had first prophesied about that. So I'm going to read Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So that's exactly, word for word, what was written in Matthew. So God told the Israelites hundreds of years before, "I'm going to give you a sign. You will have your Savior, the person coming to save you from your sins will be born of a virgin." That's what's happened here in Matthew. This is their Savior. So the thing that we need to look at is he told them in Isaiah, this is what's going to happen, and that's what happened. God finishes the work that he starts. He always finishes the work in whatever he's got planned. It will come to a finish. He's faithful, and he follows through with what he says. We can trust he has a plan and that it will happen. May not happen on our timing, may not happen on the timing we'd like it to happen, but it will take place in his timing. But we can't assume that, we can't sit back and just wait for it to happen either. You know, you notice here that Joseph was told, "You're part of the plan, you're going to follow through with this, this is what you need to do," and he did. So we can't sit back and just wait for it to happen. We need to be proactive, and when we see God, or God is talking to us, we need to follow through and do what we need to do. So, you know, that's, I find it very interesting how much Matthew talks about what was prophesied in Isaiah. It points out that is what God's plan was, and this is how it was going to take place. Now, the next thing that we're going to look at that was also part of the prophecy to kind of tie it together, and just so that we didn't have just the one point that was tied together. If we look at Matthew 2:2, it says, talking about the wise men, "Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." So this star that, you know, even George talked about in his story must have been an amazing star if these wise men from afar saw the star and as soon as they saw it knew that it was more than just a normal star. I mean, these wise men obviously were the educated people of the time. They were probably astrologers and studying the stars and everything like that. But this had to have been more than just a comet passing through or something like that. This had to have been an amazing light that would have said, "Hey, this is more than just a star." They probably started searching through the scrolls, looking for, you know, what could this be? And what they probably found, or what they did find, is the prophecy that relates to that. You know, how would have they known that there was a king of the Jews that was born? And what was so special about that star? So when we look at what they probably saw was back in Numbers 24, verses 16 and 17. Numbers 24, verses 16 and 17. "The oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down with his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down the sons of Sheath." So the star and the scepter are symbols of kingship. And they knew that this was a prophecy that had not been fulfilled yet. If they were studying the Old Testament, they would have known that there were only a few prophecies that hadn't been fulfilled yet. And so this was one that hadn't been fulfilled. So when they saw that star, that must have spoke to them that this is the Son of God. This is the the chosen one, the king of the Jews. You know, like I said, based on the reaction, this must have been a wondrous star, something that lit up the sky, something that would have just woke him up and said, this must be that star that was prophesied about back in Numbers. You know, and when they saw that star, and to travel for years, I mean, it was 2 years, they figure is at least right around 2 years from the time he was born until they got to see Jesus. So to put that in perspective, they put their life and they loaded up and had a caravan of people. You know, we always sing We Three Kings. We only call it Three Kings because there was three gifts, but they figure there was probably many wise men along with all their servants and everything else that goes along with it to pack up and travel for years, a year, 2 years, however long it was, to go see this king. Can you imagine you putting your life on hold and the amount of energy that it took to go worship this king? We should take just think about that. And they wanted to see this baby, the one that was born to be the king of the Jews. And we should think about that and put that into perspective on how much we should feel for this time of the year and what it means to us that our Savior was born to come to earth, to die, to take on our sins. And they did all that to worship and to spend to get the chance to see him. So, you know, it's just amazing as you look at that and think about it and put that into perspective of what God has done for us by sending his son, by this time of the year. And, you know, a lot of times you get so busy with everything that's going on, getting ready for your family, making meals, getting the presents wrapped for the kids, everything that needs to happen for the Christmas, we need to take the time to slow down and really put into perspective what the Lord has done and what Christmas really is, and make sure that we're giving him the worship that he deserves. So what are all our takeaways from all this? You know, I think there's a lot of good things that you can take out of the Christmas story. You know, number one, the Lord sent his son to earth to take our punishment for our sins. He came to earth to live the life of a man and to be sinless and to die on the cross eventually. What it says to me, though, is God will finish the work he has started. You know, if he is willing to follow through with what he's prophesied by sending his son and letting him go and die on the cross, he will finish the work he has started. God has a plan. You know, he has a plan. You know, it may seem difficult right now, stuff where you may be going through, but we can rest assured that God has a plan for us. He's got a plan for our family. He's got a plan for everything. We just have to not give up and make sure that we are staying in the Word, staying focused on him so we can see what his plan is for us. We have to take action and do our part. We can't just sit back and wait for God to save us, to do what needs to be done. And finally, we need to worship the Lord, for we owe him everything. We owe him for everything we have, for the salvation that we have been offered, for our families, for everything that we have going on. We owe the Lord. So we need to remember that that's what Christmas time is about, that it's a time to spend worshiping him and remembering what he has done for us. You know, it was kind of funny. We were meeting in there, and they asked me what I was going to be preaching on tonight. And I said, well, Easter, of course, you know, got to finish up the story. But no, in all seriousness, you know, without his birth, there can't be Easter. So we just need to remember that we can celebrate his birth, and we can rejoice in his life and everything he has done for us. So let's close in prayer, and then we will finish with a couple songs. So.